Hello and welcome to Inside the Manny. My name is Matt and my guest today is Bjarne, founder of the now firmly established Kaðamýli International Jazz Festival, which is currently in its 12th year. Welcome, Bjarne.
Thank you.
And to give where we are, at a place called Lisa's Bistro, which is just round the corner from the Jazz Festival office down on the main high street of Kaðamýli. So, Bjarne, I'm sure our listeners would like to hear how the whole thing got started. So, could I start by asking you to elaborate on the story I heard that was simply about a piano?
Yeah, actually it was. They have a very nice bar here in Kaðamýli, and 1866, and that bar opened in 2012, I think. Yes, I was there on the opening evening, and I started to be a regular. I came there almost every day. I thought it was a very nice place to go. And I started to get to know Panayotis and Sofia, who was running the bar. And one time I probably had one glass of wine too much. That's okay.
Easily done.
Especially at that place. Well, anyhow, I told them there's a thing missing in this lovely bar. And he said, what's missing? And I said, you miss a piano. So people can come here and sit down and play, but it's also a nice furniture. So I simply told him, I'll buy you one.
Just like that?
Just like that. And of course, he probably thought I was a little bit drunk, so he was very polite, and he said, yeah, that's very nice. So, and then later on, the same week, actually, I had my boss here from the company that I was working for, Lilliputreiser. It's a Norwegian travel company.
Ah, so you were a travel rep?
At that time, I was, yes.
I vaguely remember seeing you in, is it the Tryggvalíðar's office?
That's correct. I worked together with Denja Tryggvalíðar for 3 years, actually.
Right.
So she also worked for this Norwegian travel company. So, yeah, we were partners back then. Now she's back in my office,
okay,
in the festival office 15 years later. But that's another story.
Okay, so let's get back to the piano.
Piano,
you
yes.
got the idea.
I got the idea, and I told my boss, he came here to visit, and I said, we have a very nice bar now in this village, but he needs a piano, so can you please give me 1,000 euro? And I put another 1,000 euro on the table, and we buy a piano. And I will show you the bar. He went to the bar, he looked around and said, yes, okay, let's buy a piano. Yeah. So we told Panayoti, we're going to buy you a piano. But I don't know very much about, well, I play a little piano myself, but I don't know so much about it. So, but I have friends. I've been doing music in Norway for, you know, as an arranger for many, many years. So I had a couple friends of mine, piano players, and also piano, they repair pianos. So I told my boss, you have to invite them down for a week.
When you mean down, down from?
Down from Norway.
Norway.
Yeah. You have to invite them down for 1 week of holiday, you know.
Oh, nice.
To pay everything for them,
yep.
So we can go and buy a piano. And he said yes. He was very positive. My friends came down. Short story, we went to Kalamata. We found a music store. We bought a piano, went out and celebrated, came back to the bar. Piano was there. And my friends started to tune it. And they also brought the flugelhorn and the trumpet. And they started to play in the bar every night. And it became a lot of people there. Probably the first time live jazz was performed here in Kaðamýli back in 2012-13. And later on, I said, should we make a festival here? Because this was very nice.
Right. So, I mean, that to me, is a very generous act.
Yeah, but it's also selfish. It's also selfish you wanted. Because I wanted the piano so I can sit there in peace and quiet and play a little bit myself. But I was also thinking that, okay, maybe you never know who pops up in a bar like this. You know, sometimes it can be a very good piano player. So, and that has happened several times.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's generous, but also very selfish.
That's a nice way of putting it. So we're talking 2012?
Yes.
In the summertime?
And yeah, it was in the summertime, yes. And then 13 came, and then we started the festival in 2014, yes.
So that was on the back of several evenings back in 2012?
No, it was actually maybe in 13 we bought the piano and had my friends down. And since everything turned out so nicely in the bar, we suggested to Panayotis, should we make a festival?
Okay, so we moved to 2014, which was the year, if my maths is correct, of the first festival.
Yes, that's correct.
And this idea morphed out of those evenings in 1866, where a couple of your friends joined in and a jazzy thing was starting off.
Correct.
And sort of original decision, purely yours, I mean, or did it involve Panayotis from the bar?
Well, Panayotis was involved from the first time, and I was very dependent on Panayotis in the bar for the first time, and even to plan a festival, because I wasn't very well known. I mean, I didn't know the area that much and so many people down here, you know. And to make a festival, you need hotel rooms, you need sound equipment, you need, you know, there's many things to organize. And all this, I didn't know anything about how to do down there. So, but Panayotis said, okay, I will help out with that.
Okay, and you mentioned earlier when you were talking about the piano that you yourself play a little, but you'd also had experience of being involved in music events and festivals back in Norway before you came to Carvemilia as a rep?
Yes, that has what I've been doing all my life, actually. So I had about 7,000 concerts and several festivals.
7,000?
Yes, back in Norway.
Oh, right. So you're not a complete bunny. You know
no,
what
no,
you're
no.
doing.
I did have some experience. I even had Joe Cocker, Jerry Lee Lewis, Animals, Herman Hermits, and all
these
guys.
Okay, now I'm getting a picture.
Yeah.
So, we're moving into 2014. You and Panayotis have the idea. What did you have to do to sort of make it happen? What were the logistics of it all?
It happened to be that my boss from the travel company, he said that next year, 2014, we have to start the season later in June. And at that time, we started to come in the beginning of May. And I didn't like the idea of him starting the season in June. So I told him, but we're going to what about making a festival? But of course, you have to give me 15 free seats from Norway on the plane for musicians. And Panayotis was organizing hotel rooms for free. So I will guarantee you a full plane if we have a festival. So don't start in June. Keep it up with beginning of May. And
he said yes.
He gave us 15 free seats on the plane. So the first year, it was actually only Norwegian musicians and a couple of Greeks. That was all.
During the program.
During the program, at the first festival. It was a very small festival. It was. But, I mean, you have to start somewhere, you know.
Absolutely. So the plane, where your boss, again, generously allocated 15 free seats for the musicians, they all came from one town or?
No, they came from different places in Norway. Yeah.
So who was on the rest of the plane?
Festival goers. They simply bought their holiday to come here to go to a festival.
From Norway, right.
From Norway, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so that makes sense. I must reflect on personal experience. Obviously, when it was publicised, and you're very good at publicising, I was curious. And I remember in 2014, the first one I went to was at Haiku.
Yep.
And two things struck me. One was, my God, it is packed.
Yeah.
Now, I recognised a few locals who were obviously curious like me, so that the rest of the people must have been from that plane.
Yes, that's true.
What percentage do you think was locals versus plane goers?
At that time, I think we had 80% Norwegians on the concerts and 20% locals. From here, Greek, not so many Greeks, but what do you call it? Expats?
That's it, yeah. That's me and producer Jeff. Yeah.
Right. So we saw a few English people, Germans, Dutch, on the concert. Not very many, but my God, today they are here, all of you.
Yeah. So going back to those days, I mean, I noticed the staff at Haihu, they had to kind of click into fifth gear to serve so many people. I mean,
and they ran out of beer, and they were not the only one, I tell you.
You drank them dry. And the other thing, just on a side note, I have to admit at this point, I'm a heathen. I don't know a lot about jazz, but being a very, very, very average guitarist, I can appreciate a good musician when I see one. And I remember that night, it was two guys playing some kind of Django Reinhardt gypsy stuff, and they were stunning. I don't suppose you can remember who they would have been.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can remember.
Their name. I remember the name of the group was Hot Club de Norvège.
Right.
And the founder of this group, actually, they are one of the best string swing groups in Europe, even today. And the founder of that group, he even runs and had done for years a Django Reinhardt festival in Norway, which is famous all over Europe, actually.
Well,
so they were top musicians, yes.
And I realized that. Once I got my beer, finally, I thoroughly enjoyed the set without really knowing the music. It was great.
Yeah.
And so that first year was every... How many concerts were there in total?
At the first year, you mean? Not very many. I think, 23.
23.
Yeah.
And were they all rammed like Haihu was when I was there?
Yeah, actually. They were... because, I mean, the festival goers from Norway, they didn't have anything else to do than just go to concerts every day. But we didn't have that many concerts every day either, you know. So they still had time to go to the beach or to do hiking in the mountains and all this. So, it was packed. Yes, it was. And as I told you... several places run out of beer, they run out of food, and when you're dealing with a Norwegian, they drink cognac, and down here that's Metaxa. They run out of everything.
Okay, excellent. So what were your impressions then when the first festival finished? Did you think, I'm onto something here? You must have done.
No, I didn't think that I was onto something, but it was nice. First of all, I mean, Caramilli is a perfect location for this kind of festival. And I know that this kind of festival, and we still do have the same kind of festival today, where all the concerts are for free. People can just walk from venue to venue. If you don't like the music, you haven't paid any tickets, so you can leave with a good conscience. And we walked around in the break with a basket asking for donations. And that is still the profile today. So,
pass the hat. That's what we call it, isn't it?
Well, actually, the name is Kitty. And it comes from New Orleans. That's where all the musicians in New Orleans do in their clubs.
Right.
They put the basket in front of the stage, and people come up there, put their dollars in the basket, and that is called Kitty.
Right. That's good to know. Okay, interesting. But so at the end of the first of 2014, was there any doubt about repeating it the following year, or was that just a given?
No, I think that was given also because my boss in the travel company was so pleased because he got the full plane. And it happened that the second year, 2015, he had to get the bigger plane. So it increased the capacity from 140 to 180. And after that, all the festival planes from Norway has been 180. But of course, second year, third year, etc., it started to come more, let's say, foreigners. I mean, more locals, other people from other countries. And that's how it developed, slowly, slowly.
Okay.
And we got more musicians from other countries, too, simply because in this area, there are so many musicians living here. And permanently, many from all of Europe have houses here.
Yep.
They are here for holiday. So they came up to me and they said, well, I'm here for holiday. I play guitar. Can I join the festival? Yeah. And that's how it's also started to be very, very international.
So I guess the natural question to ask now is how the festival has developed since 2014 to where we are now, where in 10 days' time it starts?
Yes.
So firstly, in terms of the number of concerts, performances, and the nationalities involved, let's start with those two issues of how things have changed and progressed.
Yeah, the first year we had about 1,000 visitors, I mean, on the concert, I mean, the audience.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and the majority from Norway. Today, we have 17,000 from all over the world. They're, my God, they're coming groups from Australia, the people from New Zealand, United States, all over Europe. Still, it's a lot of, now it's up to 350 Norwegians every year. And many Greeks have started to come from Athens and, of course, from the area here in Mani, Peloponnese. And now we have around 80 concerts and musicians from 15 different countries.
Which ones?
Well, I can take some of the countries that we have this year. And we can start with your native tongue countries, Wales, England, Scotland, Isle of Man, Canada, Finland, Germany, Holland, Greece, of course, a lot of Greek musicians, Norwegians, America. Now we have a festival office down at the main street. Now, during this time, open every day, but still we have it, we operate it the whole year. I have to come down here and stay here for 6 months out of the year just to organize things down
here.
That's
how long you're here for now, yeah. Is it? Wow.
So, and all the hotels in Kardamili are fully booked, you know, and restaurants are packed, not only when they have concert, but also when they don't have a concert. So, yeah. I think, seriously, economically, I think the festival week is the best week for Kardamili during the whole year.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised from what I've seen. Yeah. Yeah. So another development, and again, this comes from personal experience. Last year, I went to a performance at the Lee Fermer Benaki Museum House, and it was sold out, and again, I was bowled over by the location. How did you manage to secure that as a venue?
Well, they contacted us, actually. I didn't know anything about, well, I knew about the Lee Fermer House. I didn't know very much about Benaki Museum, but I got some years ago now, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they contacted the Benaki Museum up in Athens with the president, Irini. They contacted the Norwegian embassy and ask the embassy to get in contact with us.
You're moving in diplomatic circles,
right? Yes. So I had to go up to Athens. So I had a meeting with the Benaki Museum and the embassy, and then we established contact because the Benaki Museum wanted us to use the Lee Fermor House for concerts, and now we have two concerts every year. They're always sold out. We have put up extra concerts, and it's a very exclusive place to have a concert. And that's the only two concerts also where we charge tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, the rest of the concerts are for free.
Yeah, and I think I don't want to put down the bars and tavernas that supply the other venues, because what I really like is that they all have their unique qualities. You know, you could be on the high streets, you could be overlooking the harbour, you know, but the Lee Fermor House must take first prize in terms of the venue. You must agree with that.
I agree, totally. It's just fantastic.
And as I said, as a heathen, I would recommend anybody going there for that complete experience. It really was an evening.
Yeah, and we also, I'm very, very aware of what kind of music that I put in the Lee Fermor House.
You sure.
Know? It's not an event for a heavy rock group, you know. And that is also very important. The music should fit into the atmosphere.
Yeah, I can see it needs thought, doesn't it? Careful thought.
Yeah, yep. It does.
And another development in terms of venue was your celebration of 10 years where you set up a stage actually on the harbour in Kaavamieli.
Yeah, we did. And that was an enormous success. And so we started after the 10 years anniversary to have a concert every year down there. Now.
Every year.
Yeah. With a big stage, and we finish our parade there now. We have a New Orleans parade, street parade every year. So we start now in Platea, and the parade walks down to the harbor, and then the concert start. We have three groups, yes.
And I guess, sorry, there's one more thing, isn't there, about the venues that you've slowly expanded a little bit from Kaavamieli?
Yes, we do. We have now concerts in Stupa. We had concerts up in Eksjöhuori. This year we have a new venue at the Mani Brewery, Nema Brewery. Two concerts up there. We have concert in Kalamata. We have a very good cooperation with the Kitaru Rock Bar in Kalamata. And we do. I counted 17 concerts outside Kaavamieli, actually. Yes,
that's great.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's the sort of venue and development side in terms of the musicians and the number of people coming. As things started growing, you must have needed help. Can you just tell us a bit about the sort of the team that's now behind you?
Well, first of all, I'm organizing everything in advance myself. But during the festival, of course, we need people to help out. We need people to walk around with the basket so we get some income and transportation. And we have a very fantastic, good sound team. Now with 6-7 people who do all the sound equipment. We have during the years also managed to buy a lot of equipment ourselves. We have several sets, so drum sets, pianos, double basses, amps, all these things that is needed for a festival. So, but we are not very many, but we don't, since the concerts are for free, we don't need very many people either. But we are actually enough, and So we were happy. But also now the crew is not only Norwegians. Now they're from Holland, Ireland, Greeks, and Greece, and yeah.
And the sound guys, I mean, I always see them charging around because there are so many concerts to provide sound for. Did you say there's 7 different groups of sound guys, or is
no,
it?
No, 7 people.
7 people.
7
right,
people,
okay.
And they are professionals, and that is also very important. And the head of the staff is Roland Miller. He's local. He's from Germany, but living here for 30 years.
Arnie Spark.
Yeah, Marnie, yeah.
And his red van.
Yes. Now he has 2 red vans.
One's electric.
Right. No, they're doing a fantastic job because we have up to 4 or 5 parallel concerts going on at the same time, you know. So they need to be at the venues to not just put up the rig, but they have to be there to do the sound.
Yeah.
So that's the most important development we have done with the festival during the years. It's very, very professional run now.
Yeah. And one other theme I wanted to just briefly touch on. I mean, everything so far has been positive, positive, positive. Can I raise the issue of problems? And the reason I do this is 3 years ago, I played in the festival with a band called Fuga.
I remember.
And Roland, who we've just referred to, was our bass player. Our final gig was in Enigma in Stupa. He took out his upright bass and something snapped and it was unplayable. And as you must know Roland pretty well now, he's a pretty cool guy. He doesn't get stressed. But I looked up at him and he went white. I've never seen him look stressed. And he knew the only solution was to drive like the clappers back to Carl Vermeeli to where you said there's this store of instruments that might be needed. He grabbed another upright double bass that had a pickup, drove back to Enigma. Sort of, he must have been sweating and panicked, but nobody at Enigma minded. They just ordered another drink. It's a fantastic setting. I tried to tell a couple of jokes. Took Roland 2 minutes to tune up. Off we went. So the reason I'm asking the question about problems is just within that little group, playing 3 concerts, there was a fairly major problem, which we solved. I mean, is part of your role a problem solver, and or is it so smooth now that problems generally just don't arise?
Almost, yes. But of course, sometimes we have small problems. Like last year, we had a double bass that were simply destroyed by the rain. This was in October, by the way, we have. But again, you said it yourself, the atmosphere, the venues, the locations of the concert, that makes people be very relaxed. So people, the audience, they don't stress either. As you say, they take another drink, maybe order a dessert, or so. I remember the first years we never managed to start when we were supposed to start a concert. You know, we were delayed every day. And but now it works out actually very nice. But still, the location itself, I mean, you can imagine these beautiful places here in Cardamilli where we have the concerts. You don't stress when you're sitting in Aquarella and have a sunset concert, or at the Tikla having a nice dinner, you know. So if the music has to do something because of problems, or like we say in Norway, we don't call it problems anymore, we call it challenge.
I like it, yep.
No, it works out. It works out.
Well, and again, they haven't paid, so it's want our money back.
Yep.
You know, yeah.
And that's true also. They don't pay, so they cannot complain.
Okay, so overall, is it when it's actually up and running, is it a stressful time for you, or is it an enjoyable time for you?
Enjoyable. I don't stress at all. Because also, I mean, I won't say the big stress, but the big job is to have everything prepared before. So when the festival starts, I mean, you cannot do anything, actually. Everything. I had a meeting with my sound crew the other day. We went through each concert, what is needed on each concert, electric guitars, bass guitar, double basses, drum sets, pianos, all these things, and it's all taken care of already. So the weather is the only thing.
I was going to ask about that.
But for 12 years, we've been so lucky. We did have a little bit problem last year on the second festival that we have in October with rain, but all over, it turned out okay. Otherwise, I think things run smoothly, yes.
Great, yep. And so, yep, we need to mention that it's now twice a year.
Yeah, it's twice a year. We started 3 years ago to have one in October also. And that actually happened. The first time we had it in October was back in 2020 because of the COVID.
So
we had to cancel the May one. But then we put up one in October. And it turned out to be actually very nice. So then 3 years ago, we decided, okay, let's try to have another one in October permanently. And now we do.
It works.
But it's a little, it's not so big as the one in May. We have less concerts.
Right.
But it still works out very nicely. Yeah.
And I don't mind giving a little plug. You've produced a really nice coffee table book on the first 10 years. And it's all broken down into year by year. And it's just purely photographs. Very nicely put together. So anybody who's a big, big fan, you can grab a copy from the office.
And you might just even see a picture of yourself in the book, you know, if you have been attending the festival for some years.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Okay, so another question. We've sort of outlined the growth in the last 12 years. How do you view the subsequent years if, you know, it keeps growing at the same rate? Have you any thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely. No, it will not be bigger than it is now. That we have decided, because then we destroy Carnamilli. There's enough venues, there's enough people, and we simply don't want it to be bigger. And that is also why we have this festival in October, that we deliberately want to be smaller than the one we have in May. It is difficult to keep it at the same level because there's so many tavernas, restaurants, they want more concerts. Not to talk about around the area in Stupa, in Agios Nikolaos, they also want a lot of concerts, and I simply have to say no, sorry. We are not going to be any bigger. We are not going to extend.
I think that's very shrewd, because it could be very easy to say yes.
Yes, but I have learned to say no.
Okay. Was that learning from previous experiences of being involved in festivals and concerts that you mentioned at the beginning?
Yeah, definitely. Yes, I have. And as you get older, actually, and we all are, it's something you should learn, because I've been working, you know, 100 hours a week with this for years until it kind of stopped. And then I started to learn to say no.
No,
and
right.
I think that's a good philosophy.
Okay, when you were talking about those days, you casually dropped in a few very, very famous names. Could you expand a bit more on those experiences back in Norway when you were in charge of 7,000 gigs and festivals on top?
Yeah, I started this business as a book cafe, a bookstore and a cafe. Back in 1979, and then we slowly started with cultural activities, music, authors, talks, art gallery, all this, and we were all doing this on a voluntarily basis. We were about 130 people working for free with this. And it became actually very, very big. And mostly during my years, it has been musicians, bands from Scandinavia, Denmark, Sweden, Norway. But a lot of American blues artists have been over to Norway. And
can you give us a few more names?
Buffy St. Marie, well, she's not a blues artist, but she was a very, very famous famous singer at the time. I don't know, maybe the English people around the area here remember Julie Felix. She was belonged to the group together with Leonard Cohen, you know, that was frequenting Hydra.
Yeah, yeah.
And she, Julie Felix, she was the one, she had her own program on BBC, and she was the one who introduced Leonard Cohen for the first time on television in England. But she was a very good singer herself. I had her several times. And all these oldies, you know, like Noel Redding, the bass player of Jimi Hendrix, who also wrote the biography of Jimi Hendrix, Animals, Herman Hermits, Slade.
Slade?
Yeah.
That brings me, that's memories of my,
right.
You know, I think the first LP I ever bought was by Slade.
Oh, really? Yeah, no. Oh, I had him in my town in Norway.
Outdoor that's amazing. Concert. That's amazing. Okay, Bjarni, I think we'll start winding down now. You don't seem stressed about it starting in 10 days from the time we're now recording this podcast. Where can people who want to find out more, where should they go to?
Yeah, first of all, we have our website, cardamillijazzfestival.com.
That's simple, good.
We're on Instagram. The festival office in Cardamilli is open every day now from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. I'm sitting there. We have the printed program out, and we will have T-shirts in a few days and other merchandise also. So it should be easy for people to find out.
What we like to do at the end of every podcast is to finish up by asking our guests to use three words to describe how they feel about Cardamilli or the area in general.
I don't even need three words. I can do it with one word, actually, and that's fantastic.
That's a great way to finish. Bjarni, thanks for your time, and all the best for the spring and the autumn festivals.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be interviewed by you. So I finish up with welcoming everybody to the festival, even if there's no space for you sometime.
We hope you enjoyed this exclusive members-only episode. And also, don't forget to check out your members area at insidethemani.com, where you'll find lots of extra bonus content, including in-depth articles, up-to-date listings, news, and much more.